A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to take 10 for Talmud. Psachim Mem, Psachim 40b, pagination page 80, on the top line. The topic that I'd like to discuss this morning is when there's a community concern that something will be resold. In other words, you're putting something on the market which there's a danger that it might be resold to somebody who is not supposed to be in possession of it, in benefit of it, even though you yourself did not do anything wrong, but you're setting somebody out there up for failure. There's a fascinating story that was once written. I heard it became very popular afterwards, the story of an ethical question presented to a woman in dire straits, financially very stressed. She's told that if she signs, if she agrees, they'll give her $1 million, but someone will die. They're going to kill someone as a result to get the money or whatever. And she's under tremendous stress, and eventually she signs, and they give her the money, and she asks, did someone die? And they say, yeah, someone had to die. And what happens now? We make the same offer to another person who doesn't know you. The idea being that we don't know who's going to be in the next ethical situation, and who's going to get the damage. But as a community, we don't want to put damage out there. So the case over here, which sounds very tame as it starts, actually becomes a tremendous concern. The case begins, Ahu Arba, there was a boat, the Chiti, that was carrying wheat for Pesach, the Tava Bechishta, that drowned in a certain river, and doesn't seem that anybody got hurt, Baruch Hashem, everybody got off. The question is on the wheat. Sharya Rava Lezvune Lenachrim, Rava permitted it to be sold to non-Jews. The assumption was that once the wheat was submerged, it became chametz, even if it doesn't have the telltale signs of chametz, but once it's submerged, we're pretty confident it's chametz, and he allowed them to sell it to non-Jews. Here's the problem. Esvi Rabba bar Livoi l'Rava. The question was posed to Rava. Beged she'ovad bo kelayim. If a garment has kelayim, has shatnez, woolen linen mixture in it, even one thread of the opposite type, and it's been lost in it. We don't know where it is. The shatnez checker found it. He asked, should I remove it? You said, no, I'll just return it to the store. But now we know that in this garment there is kelayim. There is shatnez. Hareza lo yimachrenu lenochri. You're not allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. V'lo yaseba mardas lachamor, and don't use it for other uses around. What you could do with it is use it as shrouds for a dead person, because a dead person does not have mitzvahs, and once it's designated for shrouds, no one's going to take it off and use it for themselves. That's prohibited. So that's a safe ending place for this garment. But again, going back, don't sell it to a non-Jew. And he explained, Lenochri my time alo, why can't you sell it to a non-Jew? Lav, it must be, Mishum dehada mazvin li Yisrael, because we're concerned that he's going to resell it to a Jew. And over here we have a phenomenal concept, not to put something on the open market, even to the non-Jew who's not obligated in the mitzvah of shatnez. Don't put it on the open market in a way that it might get resold to an unknowing Jew. You could almost see the scene where a shatnez checker typically will say, should I remove it? You say yes, he'll remove the shatnez and you'll be able to use it. But let's say you say, no, don't bother removing it. I'll sell it to my neighbor, the non-Jew. It sounds very innocent, very tame. But if there's a concern of resale, you could almost see the scene where the Shatnez checker has two different labels. One is the typical white label that says Shatnez free, and one is a label in a different color that says certified Shatnez. And the point would be that an unwitting Jew should not end up, as a result of you dumping it on the open market, shouldn't end up in violation. If it's noticeable that it has Shatnez, if it's an obvious thing to check, anybody would check, so then you have no obligation because he's got to check and he'll find it. But if it's something that you found that the typical person would not find, you happen to know that the tailor used in a specific spot, or not specific spot, because then you would know to take it out, but you know that the tailor used Shatnez thread, then you can't just put it on the open market, and therefore we're asking a question here, how can they resell the wheat that was submerged? How can you sell that on the open market? It might get resold to Jews who are going to use it on Pesach because they're going to purchase this wheat thinking it's fresh wheat. Who would think? But you know it's tainted. It's been submerged. And therefore you shouldn't be allowed to do it. Beginning of the next line, Hada Amar Rava, Rava retracted, and he said, Lizvinhu Kaba Kaba, sell it portion by portion, or Li Yisrael, or to a Jew, by notifying the Jew. So the Jew is sensitive to the laws of Pesach, and if you notify him, if he's a regular, reliable, observant Jew, he'll make sure that it doesn't get used on Pesach. He'll make sure when he resells it, he notifies people that it's chametz tikka wheat. Or he'll purposely put it in an area and he'll sell it to a non-Jew in a secure location in a way that the non-Jew typically is just using it as an investment. Mishneh Berurah mentions this case. If the non-Jew is just doing it as an investment, he buys it from the Jew before Pesach, he sells it back to the Jew after Pesach at a profit, so then that's also fine. But if you're selling it to a non-Jew, the rule is kaba kaba, sell it portion by portion, so that they'll be using it up, and it's not intended for resale, ki hechi dekalya kame pischa, so that it gets used before Pesach. Now, as an aside, when we mentioned the case of Shatnez, we mentioned that you could use it tachrichim lemeis. Shatnez can be used as shrouds for the dead person. Tosfos over here asks a fascinating question. It's the second Tosfos, outer commentary. V'im tomar, v'ha'ika lo'eg lo'rosh. Why don't you have a problem that you're making fun of the poor person? That's an expression, which means that a person who can't do mitzvahs, the dead person, you don't purposely tease him with mitzvahs or lack thereof. It's not right. And therefore, if during his lifetime he would not be wearing shatnez, you don't put shatnez on him as a tease. What's the source for this problem? So the source is that tzitzis are not allowed to be worn in a way that they drape over the graves. Our custom is that we don't even wear tzitzis open in a cemetery because that exposure is a tease. Tosfos makes a fascinating distinction between tzitzis and other mitzvahs. And we need to know how to apply this. But Tosfos' distinction is that tzitzis shkula keneged kol mitzvahs. Tzitzis is such a powerful mitzvah, it's equal to all other mitzvahs. And therefore there's loig l'rosh. This tease is on a whole new level by tzitzis. And it could be, Tosfos says, that other mitzvahs do not require this level of sensitivity. But tzitzis would be unique. There's a famous story that the Vilna Gaon on his deathbed held his tzitzis in his hand and he wept. He said, in this world, for a few coins, you could buy this amazing mitzvah called tzitzis. You buy a four-cornered garment, put the tassels on, and you get this mitzvah. And I'm going to a place where you can't buy mitzvahs, no matter what the price. Why did he grab tzitzis of all things? This is the mitzvah. But tzitzis is a very powerful mitzvah, and what's amazing about it is that even though there's no obligation to wear tzitzis if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, it's only with a four-cornered garment you have to put on tzitzis. Nevertheless, it's so powerful that to walk in the cemetery with tzitzis is loeg lorosh on the people who are buried there, because tzitzis is such a powerful mitzvah. Again, going back to the main theme of the Gemara, to put something on the open market which could be purchased by a Jew who has an obligation not to do what you're setting him up to do is something that concerns us. And the grain in this case, according to Rava's final ruling, was intended only for small packets, not for resale, or to a Jew who's reliable, who would make sure it's used in non-Pesach products. Yeshakoach, have a great day.